Hi everyone, welcome again to Don't Blame the CRM podcast. This time I have a guest coming from Sweden, Robert, who is partner at a company called Resultify, one of the HubSpot partners, and we'll talk about AI. AI is not a surprising topic, but we want to make sure that we show some concrete examples how AI can be applied into business. Welcome, Robert.
Real life. Apply to real life. Exactly. Thank you, Mikko.
First, would be nice if you could briefly introduce yourself, maybe talk about your background. We know that you're nowadays at Resultify, but what have you done and what's your sort of experience in the CRM space?
I've been at Resultify for forever, but my background is actually building a lot of websites. So I started with a company called Pixelant, where I produced like 5,000 websites in different kinds of CMSs. So we probably will touch on websites things today. So that's my background. I founded Resultify 12 years ago because I was bored building websites. But I'm pretty broad in my knowledge and interest. And the last 4 years I spent falling in love with HubSpot.
Yep. And is HubSpot the main software vendor you work with, or do you do anything outside of HubSpot, any other CMS or maybe even other CRMs?
Not anymore. I started a Salesforce company that I had for a while. We did other CMSs, but since like 1 or 2 years back, we only do HubSpot.
Excellent. And you have customers in Sweden. Do you also have customers outside Sweden, maybe outside Nordics? What type of customers?
Mainly, since we are mostly Swedish, we have customers in most customers in Sweden, but also in the Nordics and some global customers. I think I helped Sanoma, the Finnish enterprise, to build a website in Italy. So sometimes we have like a little bit global customers.
Excellent. And as I mentioned, today we'll talk about AI. I think already last year, Inbound, the annual conference organized by HubSpot, it was all about AI. And this year, same thing. And at the same time, when Inbound was happening on the West Coast, Dreamforce was also all about AI. So I think it's really the hot topic. Today, I'd like us to be very concrete when we talk about AI, and you promised that we can even do some screens here and show people how AI can be applied. Today it's of course mainly in the context of HubSpot, but for you, like, is AI already a concrete thing that people and customers and companies apply into real life and everyday business, or is it still more on a concept level? How do you describe the status of AI, for example, in Sweden among HubSpot customers?
I think everybody talks about AI and everybody's trying to get AI into their companies, in their tools. But I think, AI is not a very common thing if you look at companies in general. Of course, you have somebody internally that will talk about AI, but if you think about people in general, they are not using AI, I would say. Mm-hmm. And if they're using AI, they're going to ChatGPT and asking it some questions and then maybe fixing some text. That's my general feeling. And then I've nowadays seen that more and more meetings have these note takers coming in, and that I think is like an early step of seeing AI helping us.
Yep. Yes. So why don't we jump right into it? You mentioned that you have a background of building thousands of websites. So I would imagine that Content Hub, for example, in HubSpot is something that you know in and out. Maybe we can start with some examples, like how AI can be applied within the Content Hub.
Yeah.
Do you have like a suggestion how to get started?
Yeah, of course. I can show some. And I think HubSpot was quite early out with implementing AI, and actually some of the things in Content Hub that I will soon will show you, Mikko, been there for a long time. And that's also, I think, the thing that I think is really important that I want to show you is sometimes forgotten. So let's see here if I can share my screen. And I think that HubSpot's approach approach to AI has been very like simple, that it should be easy to use and like usable. So if we do like this, so this is my website. Of course, it runs in HubSpot and in Content Hub. So a very easy thing to do.
Some people in the audience might not know, but as you mentioned, HubSpot is also a content management system, just like WordPress. So
yeah, exactly. Many people actually don't know that HubSpot also has a fantastic CMS built in. And I say fantastic because, as I said, I built thousands of websites, and it has all the enterprise features like language handling, multi-site, A/B testing, a lot of like really nice tools for generating, driving a website. So this is my site, and as you see, I misspelled something here. So you can just edit right away. And the nice implementation of AI is if you mark this, you have this AI thing, you can say apply brand voice. And that's a very cool thing. So if you have like a tone of voice that you are using, you can teach HubSpot's AI to write as you want it to write. And you can see here, you can take rewrite. If I shows expand here, it will expand the text for me. Directly, so now I'll get a longer version of this. So it's like really in this CRM directly.
Could you also basically train different type of tone of voices? Let's say that you use a slightly different tone of voice for certain ICP segment versus another group of buyers.
So I can actually show you how to do this inside HubSpot. So you have So you have this in the configuration part, you have AI where you actually configure how you want the AI to work. So here you can have different kind of brand kits if you're having several brands, and here you teach the brand voice. You can tell it about your company profile, your ideal customer profile, your marketing strategy, your products and services. So here I taught the AI that, okay, we are helping companies with HubSpot, we have these kind of services, and then it will take this into account when it generates and regenerates content. And a typical use case that I think is very interesting, and I get a lot of companies contacting around this, is that, okay, to have a website in three or more languages is horrible, and it's very costly. So if you take this page here, it's like a case about learning to sleep. I can actually translate this into another language in one click. So if I want this in Finnish, since you are Finnish, I can actually do that with one click. Now, I don't know if the Finnish domain is configured in the right way, so let's see that. But this thing, to translate a page, is a horrible process. So actually, I get it here. I cannot read it, but you can.
Yep.
So this if I'm going to do this in the old school way, I need to copy out the header, the text, put it into a document, get that document translated, and paste it back. That's like hours. Of time and money that you need to pay for some agency to translate it. So here you can save both money and a lot of time.
Yes, and it's a concrete example how it can be applied, how AI can be applied.
Yeah, and I think that's very valuable for many people or companies. And also, I think that to have a website in a localized language, or at least in your main language and maybe English, is very, very important nowadays. The world is becoming more and more global, and we are working more and more remote, and people are more and more from different countries in Sweden, for sure.
Yeah. One question that I have, because I've been sort of waiting for the moment when most of the websites are like personalized, because we have all the building blocks already in place. I mean, you can quite easily track the IP address where the visitor is coming from, and maybe you already know the person if you have identity known. But still, most of the websites, they look exactly the same for all the audiences, even though often you in sales you communicate differently to different buyer groups and different ICP segments. Now, when content creation and also fine tuning and editing and translating content becomes easier, what's your take on like personalization content wise? Like, will it become mainstream finally?
Yeah, I think that personalization, especially in some ways of marketing, like account-based marketing, could be very, very powerful. But I mean, just personalization on a person level, it could also be very intimidating. So if you know that, okay, it's Mikko coming in and it says, "Hey, Mikko," it could be like, "Oh, wow, this doesn't feel right." But I think used in a correct way, it could be really, really powerful. And I mean, we also use Binary for our company or our customer data. So a typical way of adjusting the website is that if you have a client or a potential client, you want actually to talk to them in two different ways. A client usually wants to know, where is the support and can I buy another product? Where a potential client wants to know that you are good and you can do your things, and maybe a testimonial. And that's two different things that you actually maybe don't need to fight about on the main page if you know who's coming in. So HubSpot has that feature called smart content, where you actually can deliver different content to different audiences or different companies in a certain life cycle stage.
Yeah. So you can also, because I agree with you that some people might be a little bit scared or
intimidated.
Exactly, if they feel that it's personalized for you as an individual. But then if you apply to your account-based marketing campaigns and you personalize per company, per industry segment, because I think, like, regardless of what you sell, you most likely want to sell differently if you sell to a fast-growing software company versus maybe more traditional business that is located outside the capital area, for example. So but you mentioned smart content. Is that that's part of the content hub? And can you just...
It's a part of the content hub where you can tell it to, this content should be shown for this type of client, this type of industry, or this customer in this life cycle stage.
Yeah. And can you pick almost any data field you have, because you have an
company? No, it's a little bit limited what you can pick currently, but you can circumvent it if you want.
Yeah, but industry is one option that you can use. Yeah. Like if you know that, okay, this is a SaaS business versus translation agency versus logistics company, you can apply that the website and or part of the website looks different.
Yeah, and a typical way is like, okay, you have a client coming in, you know that they are from this industry, then you show a business case from that exact industry, then you have a much higher hit rate and they will not even know.
The conversion goes up,
will go increase, because they can actually relate to how the product should be used in their industry. Like with your product, for example, I think to have a case where, okay, this is how somebody, an agency, actually use Wino as a tool, is much, it would probably be different than maybe an industrial company that has a lot of salespeople doing cold calls.
Yeah, and I think it's something that all of us can easily see if companies and websites that we visit, if they are using personalization, like if you look at the testimonials, we see, are they actually being relevant? Or not. So that's a good way of doing it. I mean, Content Hub is quite obvious that AI can be applied to content, because everybody knows
generative AI, of course.
But how about, like, if we take Sales Hub, the CRM part, like, do you see concrete use cases how HubSpot is making AI available and applying it to real life in Sales Hub, for example?
Yeah, they have a feature that is currently in beta called Prospecting Tool. Yep. I actually don't know if I'm allowed to show it. Probably not, since it's
on
beta. But we can talk about it. So basically, you can push in contacts into this prospecting tool. It will research the company. It will research the communications in regards to mail and calls and meeting notes. Yep. And then it will write emails for you to depending on if you want to reach out to them or you want to take up the relationship again. It will actually create three emails for you to look at and say, okay, this is fine, this is fine, this is fine. So it will, you can push in 20 clients when you go in the afternoon, and in the morning when you come, you have 60 emails done for you. And it's actually currently just in English, but it will of course be in any language, and that's a really cool thing.
So a little bit like tools like Outreach and SalesLoft, like a cadence, you create a sales, in this case email,
yes,
sequence or cadence.
Yeah,
but with the difference that it's automatically tailoring the message based on the person you're approaching.
Exact. Both the company and the person and any prior communication, which I think is super important.
And I feel that since these models are often using, well, they use also data outside the CRM, because these days you can do web scraping, but often they also rely heavily on the data you have in the CRM. Meeting notes, of course, you can put them there automatically. It's the all the communications you have had in the past, the data fields you have on an account or a company level, also on a contact level. Do you feel that companies and CRM main users are able to use this as another reason why it's important to really have good habits when using CRM, because you need to have the data in the right place so that you can do all this?
Yeah, you need to have the data, and the data needs to be correct. Yeah. And that's the a big issue with any CRM, that's actually you don't get. And I think HubSpot has another take or another. They actually try to make the CRM as easy to use for the salespeople as possible. That's why they integrate to the mail, to the phone, collect a lot of data by automatic, because I guess they realize somewhere that if you make it easy for the salespeople, we take away one factor of not having an updated CRM. Mm-hmm.
And I think, because in a way, I think one big issue with almost all the CRMs used to be the fact that if you start using a CRM, day one, it's empty. But that doesn't have to be the case anymore. Of course, you have external data providers, Wine being a good example. But also, I feel that CRMs are building also these like data services inside the CRM. Yes. Whenever you add a contact, whenever you add a company, automatically it gets enriched so that you have the basic layer of data right there from day one.
Yeah, I think that's super important. And I mean, just to know how many employees a company has, it's super important for me when I approach them, because that will totally change the scope of the project, maybe what I will talk about if I know that they have 20 salespeople, or if I know that they don't have any salespeople and have 20 service people. It's totally different what I will talk about to them.
And how do you feel like these are, of course, like creating a website, translating it, personalizing content, creating a blog post in seconds instead of minutes and pushing it out into social channels. All these things are now available, and as long as you have modern tools in place. But are people already using them? Is it mainstream? Like when you go out?
Yeah, and you can see that also, Mikko, when you surf around or look at LinkedIn, a lot of people are using AI tools to generate their content. But I think what we are seeing now is also people are becoming even more sloppy with, because now we have this tool that can generate content for me. Mm-hmm. So instead of like really write a proper prompt, I need this, the reason I want this is that, this is the goal to the AI. We just write one sentence and hope that the AI will generate something good for us. Yeah. So I wanted to show you this blog post generator that HubSpot created that I think is, they really thought about how you are going to use the blog post generator to maximize the effect of the AI. So yeah. I can show you that too. Let's make a blog post together.
Sounds good.
So inside HubSpot, they have had for a long time now this blog post generator.
So I think here. It was mentioned at Inbound 2023 for the first time.
Yeah, maybe. I've been running it for a long time, and they are refining it all the time.
Yeah.
So let's say that we want to do a blog post about Viner prospecting tool for that can integrate to HubSpot CRM and Viner. Wait on. Sorry.
Yep.
Like that. And then we say we want to run that in Sweden. I guess there is not many competing for that word. It's very specific.
Yep.
But anyway, just to show, here we should have it as an article. Yes. And we say that the industry we are targeting is another industry.
Yep.
So now it will actually do the keyword research for you. So it will go up and see how many is searching for Viner prospecting. Now it actually didn't. Yeah, here it is. Here it says that Viner prospecting is less than 10 people searching for that. But we are hoping to get those 10.
Mm.
And also you can see here if there is like in the keyword is actually like a intent in it. So that intent means that, okay, when they write this, they probably want to buy something. And then you can see the competition here, how difficult it is to rank with. But we are going for this. And now this is a really cool thing, but now it will actually give me an outline of the article. And now it's in Swedish, so we should have done it in English maybe, but now it has like, okay, these are the headers that will come out. So like, how does integration through Viner and HubSpot work? Step-by-step guide. It will actually give you some examples and you can rearrange this in the article. You can remove points, you can add points. You are in control of output you will get.
If I want the model or the generator to focus on specific content, maybe I have some help center articles about that very specific topic, could I just say that, hey, use this type of information when generating the blog, or is it anyway scanning the web and using that information?
No, this one is not doing that yet. Yep. But of course you can actually prompt it very long, so you could take those kind of things and push into the prompt. So I think it's like 1,500 words you can push into the prompt. Hopefully here in a couple of seconds we will actually have the done article.
Yep.
So there we go. Actually the image generator is so, but the text is really good. I would say it's and then they have a really cool thing here where you can like add a speaking voice. So you can like add this generator or narrator that actually in natural language will speak this, which is super nice for accessibility. Or if you are on a bus, I don't know if you can hear it. Yeah. So we will add that one. So now we have the article, and of course you need to read it through and you need to adjust it a little bit. But now we maybe want to market it, and this is really a cool thing. So they have this content remixer. So I have some like saved recipes. So when we are promoting a webinar, we have this template. So And usually we promote those that webinar on my LinkedIn, our company's LinkedIn, some of the employees' LinkedIn. So if you go here and push in some, then it's like done with a landing page. Yeah, let's do it from the beginning instead. So here I have another recipe that's actually based on a blog post. So we go in here and we had this effective prospecting with Vainu. So we push that in, say start generating content, and it will generate all of the assets for you in one. So we have one Google Ads advertisement, one newsletter, one social media post, another version of the blog post, and then some social media, an email send out based on that one. So it's like you're really cutting down on generating content, and these are done, so you can actually directly push it into the social media poster. And you can even tell, like, if this is like on my LinkedIn, so you can tell it to be more funny, since I'm a very funny guy, and it will make a version that's more funny on my blog post and be more professional on Resultwise LinkedIn, for example.
And what if I then, if this is my HubSpot and I have the blog post about how Vainu integrates with HubSpot, and then if I use, for example, Vainu Custom Industries, and I know the specific industry vertical the company is operating, and I wanna specify this, that maybe I have a tone of voice that is designed for SaaS companies, then another tone of voice and maybe other things that I want to highlight for logistics companies, and then completely or some extent different approach when it comes to, let's say, management consultants. Could I then easily create a few different versions and promote this or communicate this blog post in a different way based on the data points I have on an account?
Yeah, you could actually use this to instruct it to do that. And then you will get, and then you will do one of these trees for every industry. So you could actually do that.
And not only by industry, but any data point that I have in.
Yeah, any data point that you have. And then now it's very, I mean, this if you're going to do that manually, and of course you need to look it through, I think that you should see, like, HubSpot said you should see AI as a co-creator that you use as a tool. So it should not do your work, because it should help you with your work. But I mean, if I would do that blog article, it would take 1 to 2 hours at least. And then to push it out in the difference would be another 1 to 2 hours. So it's like 4 hours work. So doing that with the industries would like add up so much time. So it would not be doable. But now with AI, it's probably is.
And so also I'm also thinking about contacts, because now when we've been enriching contacts for companies with Vainu contact data, I've seen that, of course, people often have, they have first name, last name, they often have email, sometimes they have direct phone, but quite often they might miss title, and especially titles are getting so creative, people are like growth ninjas and whatnot. So with Vainu data, we connect each title with the function. Could you also personalize per function? Because, for example, Vainu and HubSpot, my messaging is quite different if I speak with RevOps people versus sales people versus sales directors versus data teams, because we highlight different things. Can you also like personalize based on contact object and, for example, the function they belong to?
I actually don't know.
That's a good use case that we can find out, because I really believe that, because the messaging is different regarding the or depending on the buyer, and it's surprising, because of course when you sign up to a newsletter, you type in your email, so often you have email address in the contact data, but way too often you are missing title or missing
that. Title is super important, especially when you're doing account-based marketing, or as you say, how you are going to speak to a person. I will investigate if that's possible, because it's not possible out of the box. But there is, you can use some other properties and like with a workflow push that in, and then use that with the smart content probably.
Anything that we haven't touched? There are so many use cases. Of course, now we focused Content Hub, a little bit Sales Hub. Like, what are the other things you're super excited when it comes to HubSpot and AI? What's coming now when we're approaching 2020?
A big thing that HubSpot added is their co-pilot, which is their like speak to me in a natural way, kind of, I will do anything for you. And it's a very early, but I see a lot of use cases where like some things are faster to actually write to the AI, like, and probably we will be able to speak to it soon also, where you just, okay, add a contact to this company. It's actually like 6 clicks inside HubSpot if you're going to do that, like go to the company, press add, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And you can just prompt that in one sentence. That I think is really strong. And also what they are doing now, I don't know if you have activated that, but if you go here and say Vine, oh, now I will end up in Vine. How do I access your normal web page?
Just go Vine.com.
Yeah, Vine.com, like that. So now when I'm here, actually you have this small HubSpot icon here.
Yep.
And they, you have access to the co-pilot from here.
Yep.
So you can say research Vine.com.
Then it's based on the website doing the research on company. And then
and some properties inside HubSpot. So these kind of things where you can actually prompt it a lot of like pretty complicated functionality. I prompted it the other day to create a workflow that was 3 steps. If somebody visited a certain page on my website, then I will send an email if I know the contact. And it actually created the whole workflow. And of course, I needed to define the page and I needed to write the mail. But the workflow was there with all the steps and the delays as I specified.
Yeah, because I that's also my feeling, that there are so many, of course, technologies and tools people are using, but it takes time to learn the navigation, how to do things. So I think the most common user interface will be most likely natural language user interface, where you just type or speak what you want to do, because often it's fairly basic, like create a workflow by using the following data fields. These are the steps that I want to have. And then instead of you learning how to create that workflow in HubSpot or any other system,
Report builder is also super strong nowadays, and you can do it on any object, but it's like, okay, I actually need to contact a colleague if I want to do something more complicated. But now I actually can prompt the AI to do it for me, so I don't need to disturb my colleagues.
Yeah, I'm also, this is almost my last question since we're running out of time. We were aiming for 30 minutes, but I'm writing without actually ChatGPT. I want to do it myself. I'm writing about sales trends in B2B sales 2025. Yeah. AI and these use cases, of course, part of it. What would you highlight? And I know that I'm putting you in the spotlight without any previous information about it, but on the top of your head, what do you think, what are some of the sales trends 2025? Are they all AI related, or anything else that pops up in your head?
No, it's really hard for me to answer, because what I see is mostly the implementation of CRMs. And that's, I think more and more companies will actually adopt CRMs, but maybe that's just because I'm in that space.
Yep.
But my feeling is that even small and those companies that maybe didn't go to a CRM, CRMs is becoming more and more accessible. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the sales enablement part, you talked about Sales Loft and those kind of tools, that will come a lot, maybe even before the CRM in some cases, that you will have these helping tools. And let's see what will happen with inside Outlook and Google, because they are actually, like Gmail, they are actually there where most of the sales happens today. What will happen now when you start prompting ChatGPT and those kind of things? You can, if you go to ChatGPT and prompt it, who's the best HubSpot partner in Sweden? Resultify actually doesn't come up, but I'm very curious why those five that comes up, because there is no logical reason for those. And what will happen there when you actually, that decides what you're buying, what you're chatting with the AI about.
It could be that it's just reading the text. So if you write a few times a blog post highlighting the top,
what I figured out is that ChatGPT is based on Bing search results. So you need to be better at Bing to be able to sell.
That might be a good trend also for marketeers to make sure that you have good Bing presence.
It's becoming more in the same way it's becoming easier because you had a lot of tools, it's also becoming a lot more complicated. And I think what's been going on for a very, very long time is that the clients research themselves more and more. So they are more and more educated as they come.
Mm. Yeah, and because just like you as a salesperson, you can do the research on the buyer. Of course, buyers can exactly the same way and very easily they can use these tools and do the research.
Yeah. You remember a couple of years ago when you were supposed to buy a TV, you went in there, they told you what kind of TV, and there were actually people in the store that helped you buy a TV. Nowadays, the people coming in is like they are order takers, if there are even one in the store. And the person coming there is like no more than the guy in the store, because we are so much more into researching and reading and looking at YouTube. And that, I think, is any sales, business to business, everywhere, that is happening a lot.
Sounds good. And if people want to get help regarding these AI tools and HubSpot and Content Hub and Sales Hub, I guess people can go to...
They are super welcome to either add me on LinkedIn or just reach out to my mail. It's just robert@resultify.se.
Excellent. Robert, big thanks for being part of this podcast episode. And
thank you for having me. Super nice.
Yeah. And for everyone listening, thanks for watching and listening. And we'll be back with a new episode again quite soon, I believe. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.